CliffCentral.com. Okay, good morning. It is Monday. We had to take a break between what, 7 and just after, because we have to start the next podcast. So that's why we played you that horrible elevator music for a whole 3 minutes. I was sitting here looking at Leanne and we're like, why are we even doing it? It's like the commercials in there. It's just noise. All right, so Sivan Gesi dropped a little bit of a bombshell before we went to the break. And he said he wants to talk about something that's been on his mind, obviously, quite a lot, and something people are asking me about as well. Andrew Tate is this he's very famous. He's a huge thing on social media, on YouTube. He was massively popular. He's this alpha male who he's had an incredible life. I think he's also been a champions fighter. He's a guy who seems to lead a lot of conversations around what men are meant to do in society, where men fit in. He says some very controversial things that don't always float terribly well with, particularly with women, with feminists, and with men who think that, that there's something really, really awful about guys who kind of fit traditional gender roles. And I'm curious about this coming from you, Siv, because in many ways, you break stereotypes. You talked just now about your drag shows that you do and all that kind of thing. Now, Andrew Tate would probably not look terribly fondly on that stuff. He was arrested recently in Romania after he made a couple of comments about someone like Greta Thunberg and a bunch of other people. And I believe he's still in jail. I'm not sure what he's being held for. Apparently, there were some girls. He used to run like basically a webcam service, and he always has plenty of women around. He tends to objectify them I'm giving a huge amount of generous.
That's very mild.
Yeah. I'm being very conservative with the story. But what's your take on this guy? And what did I leave out in my basic introduction for people who don't know who Andrew Tate is?
I just want to say before I say anything.
Yeah.
If you are going to cut this thing up, dear people, and you're going to listen to this interview, make sure you listen to everything I say. Do not cut pieces out and only post pieces onto the internet. Because what I'm about to say, if cutting and sharing, then you're going to misquote me. Just quote the whole conversation from when I say, what do you think of Andrew Tate, to my last comment.
Okay.
So here it is. Let's ask ourselves a question: how a man like him became so famous and how so popular in such a short time possible? Why now did a guy like Andrew Tate become so popular? And here's my theory. Here's my theory: take it or leave it. So currently, the world is continuously talking about women's rights, GBV, hashtag Me Too, all these things that are happening. So it's quite out there. Women's rights, everything that's happening. But what I do think that has happened in society is that I do think the boy child has been forgotten in the conversation. Because if we are talking about the problems that are happening to women, we can't have the same conversation without mentioning what we're going to do to fix the boy and the effort that we need to put into the boy. And I think that's a very important conversation that we need to have. If you know that someone is part of the cause of the problem, how can you not spend time helping fix this particular problem? Cool.
Yeah.
So then what's happening in the world is that everyone's talking to predominantly just the girl, right? Talking at the guy, screaming at the guy, and talking at the guy, but being very supportive of the girl. So what has happened? You have an entire half of the population who feels like they're not being listened to or not having anyone saying anything that's vaguely to them. So what happens when an alpha male starts acting like he's talking for the boy child or the man? Obviously, they're going to look and go, hey, wait a minute. He's team us.
And then he's filling a gap.
So he's filled a gap that has been left in society. Now, a lot of women are going to go, no, you're blaming the victim. No, I'm not blaming the victim. I am not blaming the victim. All I am saying is that in the conversation, because I'm always part of these panels.
Can I just say here, it's not so easy to just say victim and an abuser. Sometimes things are a little more gray than they are just black and white. And I just want to throw this in there because it's something that I was reading a very interesting book about just the other day. The entire school system is actually really geared to girls, not to boys. I mean, sitting there paying attention in class, communication skills, the priority these days being put on kind of how you feel as opposed to playing sport outside on the field. Girls in general are better at that sort of environment than guys. There's no doubt. Guys will always get into trouble more because they can't sit still. They can't listen for long. They hate talking about their feelings. Boys in general do not respond very well to the modern education system. It's not designed for them. It's designed for girls, which is why at the moment in countries like America, I think it's 66%, two-thirds of the people who are going to universities are girls. Boys are just dropping out of education, left, right, and center, because it's not actually built for them.
No, for, you know, I was lucky in school that I was a drama kid and I was a sporting kid, right? And then I was an average student. So teachers made sure I did well because I was the first team water polo captain, first team rugby captain. I was a debating team captain. You know, I did all these things.
But, no, let's be fair. The biggest part of it was like they'd never ever seen a black guy who could play water polo. And they were like, we cannot afford to lose
him. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what happened as well. But sometimes you listen to the Andrew Tate stuff and you get stuck in a worm. Like you get stuck watching some of his content. Some of the times he's speaking a lot of bold, misogynistic, absolute nonsense that should be said in the 1920s. And then sometimes he says things and you're like, ooh. But it's all laced with like misogyny. So sometimes you, like, he will say something that's great and then you'll start off by going, these bitches. And then you'll end up with these hoes. And you're like, stuff that you, that was good that you were saying, now we can't share it or support it. But my friend who has kids says her 10-year-olds in a high school, a very good private school, he is their leader. They think he is a role model. You go, why? And I go back to, no one is talking to them. No one is saying anything to them. It's men are trash, toxic masculinity. And I just want to add, masculinity and toxic masculinity are not the same thing. I just want to add that the problem is not masculinity. The problem is toxic masculinity. The world needs masculinity. Masculinity is a beautiful thing in the right hand. So let's not fucking thingy the two, right? Mm. So for me, if you're a young boy, I'm an adult. So when someone says men are trash, I can decipher what they're talking about. I can decipher what they're saying. Mm. You know what I mean? Best analogy I've got about men are trash is, if you're a woman and you get thrown into a tank of 100 sharks and only the bull shark and the great white shark have the potential of biting you and the rest, 95% of those fucking sharks can't bite you, you're not going to jump into the fucking aquarium and go, there's 100 sharks. Only 5% could kill me. Nah, bruh, you treat every fucking shark like they can kill you. Every one of those sharks is the enemy. Men, hashtag men are trash. That's my best analogy of it, right?
Well, there's also this idea, and you used the term victim earlier, that you know, in every situation, the woman has got to be a victim, and that she is that there's something holy and good and pure about all feminine behavior, and that there's this evil badge on all masculine behavior. And I mean, that's, again, oversimplification, right? It's the same as saying, for example, that, you know, all black people in America deserve reparations paid because of slavery. And it was interesting. There's a woman called Angela Davis, who's like a famous, black rights activist and civil rights activist. She's also a very much left of center communist. And she found out in a TV show about her ancestry this week that she's actually descended from a pilgrim on the Mayflower, and that one of her great 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 grandparents was also a slave owner. And it makes it clear to me that nothing is that obvious. This woman, who's been for her entire life convinced that she was on a certain side of the story, has just found out that actually it's a little bit more complicated. And the same thing happens with masculinity and femininity too. One is not superior or inferior to the other. We need both.
Yeah, that's something that I've always stuck by.
I was gonna say we need the lady to talk, or else when this gets cut up, they're gonna go, the two men said something and the woman said nothing. Yeah.
Right. Bring in some inclusivity and diversity into the conversation. All right, go for it, Leanne. What did you want to say? We've only got you here because you're a woman, obviously. It's not that you say anything useful the rest of the time.
I've never been a feminist. I've never been I've gone through my phases. I mean, as I am a victim of gender-based violence, I went through some serious physical abuse that ended up with me in hospital.
Yeah,
for 3 weeks. So I do have that as a background. I do have that as a reference. And during those times, for sure, I was suffering from PTSD. I was feeling very jaded. I was scared of any man who came near me or who walked past me or drove next to me. So I have been through those phases. But I remember my stance before that happened. And I was asked about women's rights. And, I said, women have fought for so long. We truly don't realize how good we have it now. And so many women came for me and said, no, we don't have it good. You know, we need to continue fighting. I've also been really lucky to have a dad and brother who I absolutely idolize in terms of the way they are as men. There's so many times that I watch these feminist videos on TikTok or whatever, and I feel embarrassed that that stuff is being said about men. I would feel really hurt if my dad or brother saw that. And there are times that I've got to check myself as well, where I'll kind of roll my eyes and say, oh, that's just men. And I look at the men sitting around the table and they don't know what to say about it because a lot of them aren't like that. So that's just to give you a background on my stance. I do believe that a lot of men must feel completely voiceless in all of this. And I'm not happy to see women coming on and bashing men because it's almost like saying, let's fix apartheid with anti-apartheid, or there's no direct reversal here. You know, it's not like, okay, women were oppressed for so long and men called us my hoe and my bitch. It doesn't mean now that we can do the same to men. It's just setting a really shitty example. However, I think that there is definitely a gap in the market, if you want to call it that, for a role model to come in and to get people to start thinking about these things again. But he is the Kanye West of Andrew Tate. I'm talking about is the Kanye West of that role model. He's off the cliff. He has serious mental issues. He openly advocates violence against women. So I have a big problem with that. Sure, he may have started the conversation, but to hear that he's a role model to, you know, high school kids.
10-year-olds.
Makes me feel ill because then everything that we are working towards is for shit.
So, you know, for me, the conversation about what you're saying about your father and your brother is, for me, I think a lot of people think about this issue of masculinity, toxic masculinity, they think of it just at the end of the problem. Now, the end of the problem, we're talking about GBV, we're talking about rape but that at the top there, it's too late. It's way too late up there. We're talking about small things. We're talking about where it starts. We're talking about like calling women names, rape jokes, these kind of things. The smaller things that people don't realize lead to the big things. Now, a person like your dad or your father, they can relate in that sense, the smaller things that we can fix. You know what I mean? And I think people sometimes think of everything of the extreme. That's where men go, that's not me. I'm not involved there. But when it comes to misogyny, bro, I have misogynistic thoughts or actions that I have to call myself out daily. And I don't think the everyday man realizes how that is part of the problem of toxic masculinity. So I think a lot of us like to go, oh my goodness, I would never do such a thing. Some men are terrible, but none of us are going, you know, in my WhatsApp group, some guys share things and sometimes we do say something, sometimes we don't say things, or you know what I mean? So I think the issue is, for example, I spoke about racism last week. Most white South Africans would be like, I'm not racist. But when a family member says the K word at the dinner table, they'll be like, No, Karen eating. I'm like, but you must say something. Or they have these undertones that corruption is a black thing. And you're like, but you're not racist. You know what I mean? So I think it's just multifaceted and multi-layered that we all only want to talk about when someone says the K word, but not the little things of, you know, the undertones of racism.
All right, so you asked me what I think. I don't spend a lot of time paying attention to Andrew Tate. I've seen some of his stuff because, again, you know, these things get passed around. It's always interesting to me that we can't accept that even the worst people sometimes say things that are true. So taking into consideration everything that Leanne just said and everything that you've said, I don't think I would have a problem with anything that Andrew Tate has said if it's true. If it's untrue and it's just misogyny and it's just said for effect, well, then, you know, you take it from whence it comes. But the fact that this reminds me always of like people who used to say to me, you can't listen to Michael Jackson's music because he's a pedophile. I'm like, I will listen to Michael Jackson's music if I like, because I'm only interested in his music. I'm not involved in Michael Jackson's life.
But he wasn't
life.
Singing about feeling kids.
Well, also, but I told you once jokingly that if I had a kid, I would send it to Michael Jackson just if he'd write another fucking Billie Jean, right? And I was kidding. But to me, the two are not the same thing. I don't have a problem with it. Wait, just hold on. Don't get distracted. So I don't care that Andrew Tate is a terrible person to the women in his life. I mean, if they've chosen to be with him, then first of all, there's a part of them that's making a very poor decision there. And that requires a whole lot of Dr. Hanan and everything else. And if he is that kind of a person in private or in public, well, that's shitty. And I wouldn't want to have him as a friend. He wouldn't be one of the people in my circle. But for me to sit here, I have no relationship with this guy at all and say, Andrew Tate, you're such a misogynist, does nothing. It's me virtue signaling and trying to sound like I'm a better person than Andrew Tate. And for all I know, I might not be. I hope I am. I hope I'm a better person than him. But who the hell cares about my opinion of him? If he's saying things that are true and they are landing in an audience of people who are sick of being bullshitted, then I totally understand why he's as famous as he is.
Yeah, but wait, you can say that, Gareth. You can say that because you're an intelligent man. We just talk about, let's talk to the 10-year-old, the 9-year-old, the 13, the 14-year-old. There's the problem, Trumps, because currently you're saying it with a man who is intelligent and can decipher from information. But if you're talking to a 10-year-old, and I say 10-year-old,
well,
because the kid
but
I know.
I'm not, okay, I'm not a parent, and it's not my kid.
Yeah.
Again, what's it got to do with me?
Okay, but wait, but you can agree that a 15-year-old boy pummeling and beating a teacher in an American
disgusting.
School is wrong, right?
Disgusting.
You can agree with that. But I bet you he listens to Andrew Tate. I bet you he listens to Andrew Tate and it's part of the
all
problem.
Right. So again, yes, but the only reason we've got to this point, and you and Leanne have both said this, and I think it's such an important, valuable observation, is that we've got to this point because the pendulum has swung so far in the opposite direction that now young men are only hearing bullshit. They're only hearing, you are a toxic male. You grew up with X, Y, and Z. Any use of your physical abilities is violence. Words are violence.
That's brainwashing in itself.
Exactly. And now the kids are being brainwashed by someone from the opposite side, Andrew Tate, and they're watching these videos because they're sick of hearing like their teachers stand up and tell them about diversity and inclusion and toxic masculinity and privilege. And what they're hearing from him is like, oh, wait, what he's saying sounds more true than what they're telling me. Therefore, I'm going to swing in the opposite direction.
And I just want to go in and go, first of all, I know you guys are listening to this, to those who are listening, and I know it's going to be podcasted. I just want to say, listen to the comments again that we've just said before you cut and paste and misquote.
Yeah.
I can back up everything I've said on here.
I can promise you, like, dude, someone is going to do that anyway. I'm used to it and you should be okay with it by now as well. I mean, I've heard you say some absolutely true and brilliant things about, for example, the ANC. Next thing I know, Sivan Gesi is like, he's working for the DA. He's an EFF member. I mean, it's all bullshit, right? I mean, someone's gonna misquote you at some point, and I don't actually care anymore. Go ahead.
I don't mind. Misquote
me, you losers.
But what I do want to say and add to this is that no matter what we say, we know we have a problem. We have a problem with toxic masculinity. We need kids to have better leaders. We need young boys to hear different things. We need boys to have positive reinforcement. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. But we do have a problem. We do have a problem, especially in this fucking country. We're a violent, violent. You know something? Here's another quote. We do not have a GBV issue in this country. I repeat. We don't have a GBV violence. We don't have a gender-based violence problem. We have a violence problem in this country that's not been addressed. But GBV sells papers and gets headlines. But
Siv, here's the other ugly thing no one wants to say. And this is something I keep bringing up, and it falls on deaf ears because it's not convenient. There are no very few random men just walking around looking to exact violence on women. Most of this gender-based violence occurs between people who know each other. All right. This is something no one wants to talk about. It's way worse, but these people know, it's not some guy who's walking past and goes, I think I'll just break into that house and rape people. There are people that do that. Don't get me wrong, but most of this stuff is happening inside of families. It's people who are meant to love each other that are so fucked up that they're the ones who are perpetuating this violence upon each other. And that is unacceptable and outrageous. And we have a problem, not just with violence, as you put it. We have a problem with understanding what families are meant to be. We have a mental health crisis. We have people who are so saturated in ugliness and violence and cruelty to each other that they can't even treat the people they're supposed to love decently, let alone strangers.
Let's get this right. So GBV, gender-based violence inside the house, like women being beaten and hurt, definitely is done by people that they know.
Yeah.
But there's definitely all flipping serial rapists and random people who are raping random people. Yes. But that kind of thing. But so for me, you know what? Let me just word this quickly in a way that I have to say, I'm nowhere close to perfect at all. I continuously have misogynistic thoughts every fucking day. It's a continuous having to remind myself that you can do better, you know better, and being accountable and surrounding myself with people who hold me accountable continuously every single day of my life. And for me, there is no such thing as a perfect man or a perfect human, but we need to hold men accountable and men need to hold themselves accountable in society. And currently, I don't feel enough of us have been held accountable by society and continuously perpetuating such bullshit continuously. So for me, we are not making excuses for men. We need to be better. We need to do better. But I do remember when I was a kid, I remember having fucking incredible role models, incredible men to look up to, unbelievable role models that even my mother used to speak about. Like if you see there, I have Muhammad Ali and Nelson Mandela there. And these are men that are always behind me, backing me continuously. But I do feel like I would hate to be a young boy currently. Because if you tell me now, name 5 men who are perfect role models, great models for young boys.
No,
now,
very difficult.
Tell me now, 5. But I could name 5 women in a heartbeat.
But here we go. I mean, this is what I think we're talking. We're completing a lot of circles this morning because, again, we tend to judge people in the past very harshly and we think we're better than them. You know, to go back to the cow being slaughtered for your father, which you talked about in the first hour. Now Nelson Mandela's not good enough. You know, there are all these people calling him a sellout. Now there are people saying, Muhammad Ali, you know, because of his religious stance or because he didn't join the military, he wasn't no one is perfect. Who are these people who think that they're so perfect? Whether they are activists on the male side or activists on the female side or political activists or black or white activists. And again, we go back to all these things we've spoken about now, which seems like there's a coherent discussion happening here, by the way, which I mean, none of us planned, but that we,
Feels like we've done some good work this morning.
I feel like we're covering a lot of ground, frankly. But I mean, this is what happens when you get Siv on the show as well. He does bring some value. Listen, dude, we've got to realize, like, there is no such thing as a perfect anybody. All the people who pretend to be haven't read enough books and haven't studied history and haven't looked at the world around them. There is lots of improvement to be made. There's plenty that we don't know about each other. And there's a huge amount of people jumping to conclusions and putting people in boxes, which is hugely, hugely stupid.
So do you know why I started drag and why I started pole dancing? People ask me those all the time. During COVID, GBV's numbers increased tremendously. And I remember sitting in my house alone, feeling disgusted to be a man. I remember thinking,
Can I ask you about that? Because that is, to me, that's so weird. Like, I don't feel responsible. We've got a difference of opinion here, which I think I want to figure out why.
But listen, guys. There was a moment of me just consuming so much information. My DMs are full of women going, I'm being beaten by my husband every day during COVID. Young girls going, I'm being raped. In my DMs,
why are they messaging you with that?
Continuously. Because I think a lot of the times women online just want to be heard and just say, I believe you. And sometimes that's such a small thing. And we don't realize how important it is. So when I say I was being disgusted, I meant I love being a man. Right. But there was a bit of a guilt. There was a bit of a guilt. And I have to be honest about it. And I made a mission to go do very predominantly feminine things that are very difficult. I did drag, I did pole dancing, I went out, I did ballet, I did a lot of things.
You were role playing.
Netball, I did a lot of things. And the things, And the things that really, really stuck to me was pole dancing and drag.
Don't lie, you like the feeling on your balls, dancing. That's all.
But let me tell you something, pole dancing is physically the most difficult thing I've ever done. Right? And for me, we talk about the guilt of masculinity. Bruh, I don't feel like I did anything to someone, but I do feel sometimes as a man going, flip, I need to do more.
I know it comes from a good place with you, so I'm not going to try and like undermine your character here or whatever, but
I don't understand
why anyone on earth should feel guilty for something they didn't themselves do that is happening to someone else. That is,
compassion.
First of all, no. Empathy. Hold on. Because it's gone beyond that for some people. Like you, I do not have a responsibility to feel bad about other men's behavior when I'm not committing that behavior myself.
Are you trying to tell me that you have not played a part in any form of misogyny in your life, even on this radio? You've never.
I probably have, but I know for a fact. We've all had thoughts. You mentioned it yourself too. Okay.
Yes.
But when you behave badly, when Siv Ngesi behaves badly with a woman, I'm not responsible for that. No matter what I've said on my show.
Now you're simplifying it. So I at no point when I talk about guilt, I'm not.
You talked about accountability earlier.
Accountability. So accountability
means you are responsible for the way you behave. I can't be responsible for what's going on in your head.
No, you won't be judged for
what's happening in your head.
Okay, so I do not say that I am responsible for anything any other man has done. Yes, cool, right? But I do feel that I can be part of the solution of fixing things. So this platform that you have, if there's a little boy out there, one little boy listening to us, now that sounds like airy fairy bullshit, but one little boy listens to us and goes, actually, Siv plays rugby? What? He pole dances too? What? Oh, Gareth is cool as well. And they go, actually, I can be a better man. Do you not think that's any, one boy changing, you don't think?
You may put yourself on the pedestal of being someone's role model, and you do that then at your own peril. I am not responsible for your children. I didn't bring them into this world. I'm not responsible to educate them. All this is a show that informs and entertains. And I'm not going to be dragged into or put on a pedestal to be the guy on any particular subject. Now, that's not me obfuscating, and it's not me trying to eschew any sort of responsibility. But what it is I know in my own life what I have done right and what I have done wrong, I am responsible for the results of that. So if I drive too fast, I get locked up. If I hit someone, I'll go to jail. I mean, we were talking about this just earlier. You might have beaten up some homeless dude for throwing a brick at a car. In your world, in your mind, you needed to execute justice there because there isn't a justice system. Now, I'm upset, don't get me wrong, that we live in a country where the justice system doesn't work, where there are so many women who are victimized on a daily basis. It upsets me, and it makes me very uncomfortable. And I think about my own mother and sister, and I think about Leanne, and I think about other women who I know, and I think I hope that never happens to them. But I'm not the one doing that. And I think you've got to be careful. You've got to draw the line somewhere, because ultimately, Siv, you will exhaust yourself mentally, and you will have compassion. You'll have compassion fatigue, which is, I think, what you're going through some of the time. I watch you on social media, and I'm an amateur psychologist here, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But I sometimes see you burnt out. I see, because you put videos up. You're very honest. You're very out there. You're very open. I see you burnt out sometimes. And I think you're burnt out because you're taking responsibility for shit that is not yours. I'm not responsible for the way other men behave. Neither are you. Leanne is not responsible for all the women in the world. Do you have something to say to this? You're watching these two apes, me and Siv, arguing with each other.
It's so true. What people have often said to me, you know, don't, especially in the crazy days when we were on 5FM, and you used to say really off the rail things, and people would say, you know, how do you feel about that? And I'm like, he's not advocating to be a role model for anyone. This is entertainment. And, hats off to you. So if you do that, but not everyone's going to do the same, and not everyone's going to feel the same responsibility. I do not feel responsible for how women think. I'm very happy that they're entertained by my life stories and realize that they're not as abnormal as they think. But that's where I draw the line.
Yeah, you know, guys, I agree with you. I agree with you both 150%. I really, really do. I can tell you one thing. One of my strengths and one of my weaknesses is that I'm a sucker for humans. I fucking love people in the sense of the underdog. I really love the underdog, and I really love fighting for the underdog. Me going there and hitting the homeless guy is illegal. Categorically illegal. And I will still do it, right? But there's something about me that hears stories and feels that I wish I was there to do something. Right. I wish I was there to do something, even though it wasn't my doing. Right. And you agree with that one, that beating up the beggar. Right. But technically, that's what I'm doing with women who reach out to me as well. Technically, I'm somewhat going, let's fuck him up. Let's fucking.
But again, dude, it's almost like you're overcompensating and. You're trying to be everything to everybody, and you can't. I mean, there's probably a terrible, horrific car accident in like outer Mongolia that just happened this morning, and just the worst. No, and maybe that these people were all decapitated, and they're lying there in the Gobi Desert with their fucking arms and their heads and their balls
everything.
In different places, and it's an absolute catastrophe. And for me to pretend that on this show in this morning, I'm going to be all somber about it. And we're going to have a moment of silence for the people in the Ulaanbaatar, you know, bus crash is just, it's not even, first of all, it's not real. I can't pretend. I've just made up this story. It's impossible for me to pretend that I'm compassionate about things I don't even know about. There's a limit. You know, there's this thing called Dunbar's number.
No.
Dunbar's number, it's somewhere around 240, 250. It's the maximum number of people you can actually have a meaningful relationship with at any stage in your life.
It's the number of fucks that you will be able to
give. It's the number of fucks you can give. So it's, you know what it starts to do? If you care about more people than that, or you pretend to care about more people than that, it actually makes people question your sincerity. They're like, well, if he's upset about every single thing that's happening, what does he actually care about? Because suddenly, you know, his total amount of upset is reduced to like, oh, well, he gets upset about everything. So he's just an overreactor. And so I think that this is a thing, like you said, you care about humanity. And I get that about you. I do see that I don't think you're lying, but you can't care about everybody because then you end up caring about nobody.
No, actually, it's funny you say that. So I get a lot of messages from people, right? And they're always like, this person is, and I'm like, I have a certain group that I really feel for. And it's a lot of the times it's mostly GBV, rape, and kids. That's my, like, those are my things. You know,
those are good things to care about, by the way. I mean, so who's got a problem with that?
Yeah, but when people share other stuff with me, I'm like, I don't feel nothing. But I have a certain thing that hits my ding. It really does get me. It's definitely I was saying the other day that my mother, every Sunday, my mother used to, on her way home from the township, she would always stop at a flipping hospital. And I'd be on the side, deathbeds of people I had no idea who they were. My mother used to be crying. I used to be crying. I don't know who these people were. So that's where I grew up. I grew up with my mother meeting random people at hospitals who had no idea who they were.
Your stories about your mom are beautiful, and she sounds like one of the most compassionate people that ever lived. But I would, if my mother took me to the beds of dying people, I mean, it's a kind of torture, for fuck's sake. What a horrible thing to do to your child.
My mother used to, because my mom was part of the church. So they had to go pray at people.
You took you with?
And now I hate church. I hate everything about religion. I hate religion. I hate it all. But my mother, I think, is going to play a role in that. But one thing you did say that I really liked, back to the thing I talked about, during COVID, I really had this weird feeling of trying to understand masculinity, trying to reinvent what masculinity means to me. And then that's how the drag and the pole dancing thing happened. And I'm in a much better space then. But being alone in your house every single day, alone, and you receiving information, definitely did something to me. But I'm glad it was a process of getting to where I am now. And I think I've definitely been able to process it better.
Thank God there are people like you who still want to get up and go and smash a homeless person in the face for throwing a brick at someone's car. I mean, especially if it's a young, defenseless woman. I'm totally with you on that one. I think the difference is that I actually I don't just love humans. I think they've got to prove that they deserve the love. And what I've started to realize is that there are plenty of really shitty people in the world. And this is also why I don't particularly think about or care about the Andrew Tate or anybody else like that. It's not in my mind every day. Mm. I'm trying my best, you know. And again, if he does enter my mind, I look at what he said. I go, is this true? Does it have some value? If it isn't, dismiss it. I'm not thinking about him as my role model. And if he's kids' role models, then that's the parents' fault because they haven't been the role models. So I'm also going to say again, and I'm hard on parents on this show. You know this, Leanne. If you're going to be a parent, that is a full-time, lifelong occupation. It's the hardest job of all. Said it before. Parents deserve an enormous amount of credit if they get it right. And it's not a thing where there's a manual. So every parent does some things right and some things wrong. But if you're letting your kid be modeled by someone like Andrew Tate, you're doing a bad job as a parent. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, we understand. But let's be honest, as much as parents raise their kids, society does a lot of raising too, my chums. I understand what you're saying. But society does play a second parent quite well as well.
Listen, I love seeing you, and thank you for being on the show this morning. And I'm very glad that we got to connect again. You always have so much to say, and I can't even remember what it was that you and I were going to talk about this morning. It wasn't any of the things we've discussed, but it doesn't matter because these were all better.
I just want to say, I want to end up by saying, for me, I do feel we're on an interesting journey as a country, and I definitely feel like something needs to be done ASAP, or else we're in a deep fucking hole.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you want to do? What do you want people to do? Go on. Here's your parting shot. This is Sivan Gesi's instruction to everybody. This is what we need to do to get everything right in this country.
Accountability. Beautiful. ANC must fuck off. but accountability is needed. And everything we've spoken about, goes down to accountability. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
These pieces of shit, these useless fucking trash, corrupt fuckers. Absolute bullshit. And I was at the Formula E the other day, and Eskom was one of the sponsors of electric cars. I was like, how arrogant can you fucking be, you bastards?
And they were selling solar paneling.
Yes. I agree. You know, all right.
And I know you're going to disagree with me on this. End up with this. In New York, you see a cop on every corner. I know you're going to be like, a banana state, whatever. But if you have a cop and 100 meters another cop, for those 100 meters, you will be accountable. Like, you'll be accountable. We need to do something fast, Chomi. We're going to pay the price. Yeah. Hey. We're going to pay the price.
I'm saying it starts with each of us. Be responsible, at least for yourself. And then once you've got that more or less under control, then start telling the other people in society to behave as well. But, you know, if we've got people, the fish rots from the head, right? So if we've got people at the top who are rotten and who don't know what they're doing, then it's not going to get that much easier down the chain. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Siv. Love seeing you, dude. And keep well. Have an awesome week. I appreciate you being up early on a Monday morning to be on the show with us. Thank you.
I could have been scratching my balls or jerking off.
I know.
Bye.
Yeah, maybe you made the wrong choice. Accountability. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Wow. He'd rather be scratching his balls than talking to us. I mean, who can blame him?
I don't know. It sounds like he let off a lot of steam this morning, regardless.
I reckon that room smells sweaty as hell now after all the steam he's been letting off. He basically got a cardio workout just being on the show. But what I love about him, right, is he can, in one show, access his really deep personal grief over his mom dying just a few months ago. And he can get hugely upset and pissed off with politicians. And it's all like a bit of stream of consciousness. But you got to love the guy because he's just real, you know. And he sometimes, he and I will argue occasionally on messages, but most of the time we're just like, hey, how you doing, dude? Love this, love that. And I do prefer passion to people who are just like limp, dead, dull. I saw a woman in the shop yesterday. Oh my God.
You always see these people in shops that are like your terror.
But you see, it's because I don't really, I'm not meeting that many new people on a weekly basis. I mean, I met some amazing people in the last year, but normally when you go into the shop, you also are observing people. This woman went in at the same time I did. So I kind of followed her through the shop.
Oh,
she followed
me,
right?
There's always that one. Yeah.
She did not smile once. She looked like she just was having the worst. And she maybe was having the worst time. Who knows? But it was like this numb, dead face. There was no expression on her face at all. And it made me conscious that I was going to smile. I smiled the whole way through that shop. I had the best shopping experience I've ever had in my life. Everyone walked past me like, what does he know? What's that super? What has he got that we don't have? I suddenly realized how easy it is to just smile and to change everything around you. I got to the cashier after her, this woman who was the face like a smacked ass, got to the same cashier as her. I said to the cashier, you see that woman's face? She looks at me. She goes, what do you mean? So I said, there's something very unhappy. She goes, yeah, but you know, maybe she hasn't got money. Maybe she's got horrible children. Maybe there's something else going on. She and I laughed about it. But I spoke to her a little bit. I said, like, what time do you finish today? What time did you start? How much time do you get off? Because she's been like, it was busy, the shops. She goes, no, it's been a busy day, end of the month. You know, everyone's ringing up at the same time and she's had to work long hours. And again, you have a positive, happy, friendly interaction with someone, smiling, laughing, changes everything.
If you can do it, then do. But for that day, you needed to be the person that smiled. She couldn't that day. She just couldn't. She didn't have it a day. I sat the once outside a shop and I was waiting for a bank transaction to go through. So I was just sitting, staring at my phone and watching people walk past. The amount of sad menopausal women I saw coming out of the shop. And for that day, I was able to smile for them. And another day, they'll smile for me.
Yeah. Okay. That's a way of looking at it. Today's your day.
Yeah.
All right. But smile today. So whether you're a new trader who is looking for a safe place to start or an experienced trader who's looking for low spreads, that's you, Leanne. Multi-assets, high tech, you like hedging, you like shorting certain stocks. That's your thing, right?
Yes.
So then you will find, as will I, the novice, markets.com suits you perfectly.
That's where I go.
Special offer this morning. As per every time we do Markets Mondays, you could follow the link on cliffcentral.com to register with markets.com and you will get a 30% bonus on your deposit. That's very nice.
Bonus.
Who's giving you a bonus at this time of the
bonus.
Year?
Bonus.
No one.
A long time ago.
So stocks and indices have done really well kicking off 2023 with reports and updates from big tech, mining companies, financial services, and retailers, to name just a few. There have been a few big winners this year already. As earnings season closes, Dylan Bester is here to join us and to unpack the top performers from Q1 and what traders should look out for in the markets moving forward. Hey, Dylan, nice to have you here, man. In person, he's here. Sitting among us there. Yeah, good to have you here. Well, I mean, why join us online when you can actually be in the studio with us? Have you been offered some coffee or something?
Yeah.
You have? Okay. Just pull that microphone a bit closer. There we go. All right. So tell us about Q1. Call it earnings season. For some people, they've had a pretty good start to the year, believe it or not. Most people are like January. But it hasn't been all that bad on the markets.
No, it certainly hasn't. I mean, Overall, Q1 basically sums up 2022. So it brings 2022 to a close and we have sort of an update from all the big companies. We specifically focus on the US because they're generally quite nice and up to date. So they report quarterly. So you can actually see the transaction, how the economy is faring in a real time basis. We struggle with that in South Africa because it's only yearly. So coming to a close, we've had basically lower earnings across the board. Analysts generally estimate these earnings lower, but a lot of the companies came in line. There's a few companies that have managed to surprise. These are generally your few techs. I'm not going to mention any names because there's about 4,000 companies that report over in the US.
But did you see that Bing, which is the, Microsoft search engine?
Chat AI.
And then Google's one. Yeah. What's it called? Bard or something. These two were basically vying for attention and the stock price on one went up hugely. I think it was Microsoft. And on Google, it dropped. I mean, they wiped off like billions of dollars because of the bad performance of the search engine as compared with Microsoft. Yeah. It can happen in a minute, let alone quarters or annually.
Well, exactly. I mean, you've got this amazing new sort of hype word is your AI chatbot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's changed everything. And it technically is going to take over Google from a sort of search engine perspectives. So
right.
That was also a threat to Google at that point. And then obviously the different comments and how people have analyzed this AI is sort of your new buzzword in the market. So that's one of your favorite.
You reckon AI will be able to do investments for us? People are already using it for that?
Yeah, they definitely are. I think the questions you ask and actually what you put across to it is what's actually the quality of your answer going to be.
Okay.
If you're asking it silly questions, you're going to get a silly answer. And what that AI is actually able to do at the moment, it can pick up the person that's asking it the question and actually tailor a question specifically to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost leaning in quite an opposite way now because they've had engineers develop these things.
Right.
And if you don't have an engineer's brain and you're not developing it, your quality of answer is going to change drastically.
And I suppose it learns from the person who's inputting these questions and answers.
Yeah.
So in other words, it begins to get smarter, but only about you.
Correct.
And if people are not participating in this process, which is why I think with ChatGPT, for example, they're encouraging as many people to go on and ask things as possible. So it gets better and better at answering them. But we digress.
But
tech is still a growing.
It's slowed drastically last year. I mean, a lot of the. So
they fired a bunch of people too. They all had to lay off staff.
Laid off 10,000, right. 20,000 workers. So generally what's happened in the US in the last year is we've had to increase, the US has increased interest rates to fight inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So the increase in interest rates obviously slows down the consumer at quite a drastic pace.
Right.
I mean, they moved the interest rates from 0 to 0.25 to like 4%, over 4.5% now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a 4,000% increase. It's just drastic on the consumer. You can't all of a sudden recover from that in a year. So the process we're going through now is we're trying to understand to what effect this interest rate has to go up by to slow down the consumer so that they can actually start normalizing the economy once again. But the economy was running so hot and there was so much money in the system from COVID and the COVID loans that they provide in the States that it was just too much money chasing.
That's why we've got inflation now, right?
Correct. So inflation's hot and they're trying to slow that down. So we had a good January, as you pointed out. The markets moved quite nicely ahead of themselves, up 8% year to date. We've since then, as of last week and Friday, we had new inflation numbers coming out, just pointing to the fact that actually inflation is still peaking its head. So inflation actually surprised again on the upside on Friday, and the markets have come off since then. So looking forward from here, the Federal Reserve, which is designs the monetary policy in the States, need to actually try and get the inflation down to 2%. It's currently at 4.5 on this indicator. It's more than half. So it's not going to be happening in a year that this is going to come down and slow down. So this year, we need to try and figure out if the US is going to go into recession.
Okay.
And if we're actually going to not go into recession. And that has two very severe impacts on the overall market. The one scenario, if we don't go into a recession, is the market should do around 12% for the year. Now, take into account, we've done 8% already. So the upside for this year is only around 4%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not massive, but you're obviously going to get it in quite a few sectors. And it's going to come in from specific companies. So to sum up earnings season, there's a couple companies that haven't done well. You got your likes of your energy companies that haven't fared well, and they're going to still struggle over the next two quarters.
All right.
The next quarterly earnings results actually going to be where we can see what's going to happen for the year. So that will be our first quarter of 2023 reporting, and that'll give us a good guidance for the year and whether the country is basically going to slip into recession, or not. But they'll be telltale signs before that happens.
Well, I mean, one of the things I like about markets.com and Leanne, of course, being a professional, on the markets as well. Yeah. She knows all about this.
I know a bit more about, AI used in banking and insurance and those sorts of things. Cause I work for a company in the UK that does that.
Mm-hmm.
An analytics company. But when it comes to stocks and markets here, I would have to do my research online. I'm no guidance.
Oh, no. I was being sarcastic because, I mean, I don't know anything either. But what I do know is that when the dollar goes up and the rand comes down, as has happened recently, this isn't necessarily the end of the world for people who are traders, because a lot of people are trading in dollars. A lot of people are investing in the dollar, or they're just buying in money markets dollars straight up. So there are ways to also hedge your bets there. How do you think that the US dollar is going to perform going forward? Because again, a lot of people said that was going to hit the wall with all the inflation.
Yeah. So, I mean, the US last year has had quite a strong year. I mean, it's strengthened quite a bit. We're getting to a point now where does it continue to strengthen? And what this, the impact on this is that US companies that generate a lot of their revenue from around the globe, their revenue gets less and less as that dollar gets stronger. So it actually slows down the actual US companies themselves as well. So looking forward, I mean, the dollar is sort of an indication of their treasury market, how well it performs. And that's done, I mean, those treasury yields are at like 4.5%. So it's a very attractive investment at the moment. So you compare that to your equities. And this is also another conundrum we face in the financial world at the moment is, your playoff between equities and bonds. Do you want to take the risk of buying into companies when you know they're going to be slowing? Mm. Would you go rather buy some safe bonds, paying you the same sort of premium, risk premium for?
And can we just, while we're on the dollar, can we talk about dollar priced commodities?
Yeah.
Because that's another thing, you know, commodities are always also an area of some risk, but some people have made some incredible profits out of backing commodities. And we know South Africa is largely an economy based on commodities.
Yeah, I mean, we generally resource driven, so that's very good. And what happens when our companies locally, like our bigger miners, and you see the likes of the rand weakening, as we saw from Friday's announcement, and these companies will generate more profits. A lot of their revenue is all generated offshore. So as the rand weakens for them, profits are driven up through the roof.
Right.
The conundrum they face is that we've got other issues within South Africa, the ability to deliver and get these commodities sent offshore. We've had a lot of issues, as you know, with Transnet and strikes and so on. So that always impacts everything. So
we have?
No. Oh, Leanne, all the time. Okay. So building on the answer to the previous thing and so much else of what we've discussed here in this little bit of a conversation about Q1, where do you think the markets are headed next? And what should traders be looking at as we head into the next quarter?
So the biggest focus, what's driving the markets at the moment, is whether we're going to go into recession in the States or not. And that indicator is basically going to come out in the next few months. But we need employment in the US to start slowing down. It's at its best. They're almost at full employment. They're at 3.4%.
Wow.
Which is mega good. And this is going to, this is the case. So if it stays as is, markets will generally sort of grind higher over the year. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be an easy year, just from what we've come from, what the scenario we're dealing with at the moment. So in our world, we always want to look at the positives. You pointed this out this morning, and the positive I would focus on here is rather what to buy and what not to, what to stay away from.
Okay.
So you want to be buying your defensive companies.
By the way, we are not giving you financial advice here. We're just telling you how Dylan sees the market.
I'll reiterate that. So it's not financial advice.
Yeah, go ahead.
So we're looking at a basket of sort of your defensive companies, your companies that have always been around and your companies that are very cash generative. And I give you examples like Estee Lauder, McDonald's, like mm-hmm. you pointed out. And these are companies that will fare quite well this year. Their growth's not going to be out of this world, but they're going to be consistent. So there's still going to be spend. People are still going to go do their general basic day-to-day shopping. Mm-hmm. And these companies is sort of your basket of stocks that you want to be holding if there is talks of a recession or us trying to navigate our way through.
So what we do here, food, you mentioned.
Yeah, okay, food, so your staples, so your Estee Lauders, your McDonald's.
Women are not going to stop buying makeup, in other words.
It's going to continue.
All it takes is one influencer to topple something like Estee Lauder, so be careful.
Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, women are not going to stop buying that stuff. You know,
it's your day-to-day things. That yeah.
Right. And what else would you say are defensive companies, even in a local context?
In South Africa, you look at like British American Tobacco.
Okay. Smokers can't help themselves.
Smokers, you can't, yeah. And your consumer discretion. So your day-to-day, some of your retailers. All right. But look, South Africa is a complete different discussion to the US. We seem that we lag quite a bit in terms of how the economic data impacts our stocks and companies. And that's why we focus on the US. I mean,
right.
It's just up to date. It's very efficient. So it's a good market to actually be involved in.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention also to stocks or securities in general that you think are particularly resistant to a tightening market. So where would you say people should look? I mean, you've answered this partly in your last question, but where besides the US stock market, would you say that there are other places that you should be looking in an economy where things are maybe slowing down a little bit?
So from a slowing down perspective, I mean, the US is slowing down. So its economy is slowing down.
Absolutely.
One of the economies that are doing quite well and they've just come through sort of COVID is China. And China's just reopened now. So, and they're still vowing to spend a lot of money on the economy. And if you look at other Asian countries like Japan, they've just come out of they've had no inflation for the past 12 years. And only in the last year have they come out of that, which is inflationary, which is in general, good for your stock market because you've got prices and goods going up and you'll have more people spending more money. So the Japan and some Asian countries actually just come out of this. It's actually very positive.
Looking at Japan?
Yeah, I certainly would. Specific stocks. I mean, and we talked about this earlier, some buzzwords like your AI. There's a couple of smaller companies in China that have been investing in AI for the last 5 to 6 years. They're actually very well versed in this already. I'm not going to mention any names. But there's local ties to companies like that. You could probably guess I will mention some names to make it a bit easier to explain. Locally, we got exposure to Tencent via Naspers.
Right.
And then there's also companies like Baidu. Baidu is probably one of your better, well-known AI companies over in China. And you got JD.com. You've got quite a few bigger names. Alibaba, not in AI, but those are sort of your general US listed Chinese companies that should fare well over the next few years.
Well, I'm very happy that you came in this morning because it's always better to see people face to face. And I think most of us are quite tired of having to do things virtually. So it's always much, much nicer if you can actually see the person and kind of, have the experience of being in their company rather than just seeing them through a screen. So
that's all worn off. Novelty.
Yeah. But thank you, Dylan. Nice to actually meet you for the first time. I can't believe we've been doing this for a couple of months. We've had you on so many times.
First time we've met.
Yeah. Wow. So there we go. Markets Mondays brought to you by markets.com. Remember to follow the link on cliffcentral.com to register with markets.com. You will get a 30% bonus on your deposit and you can follow them on all the social media. It is 8 o'clock, so we're pretty much wrapping it up for the morning. Thank you for being a part of the show, and a big thank you to everybody who was in the comments section this morning. I know we promised we would take live calls. I brought in an old phone with a SIM card in it, which we can connect to this thing. I'll do it from tomorrow. We're not going to do it today.
Is that a Nokia?
Almost. I don't even think this thing can... I don't think there's an upgrade available for this. Look,
actually, it's quite trim and slim compared to our phones these days.
I know. It almost makes me feel like I should have one of those again.
Yeah.
But no, I think we've moved on.
Okay.
All right. From tomorrow, phone calls. So get ready for that. Then we don't just have the comments section. We can actually do phone calls live as well, which I'm very excited to do again soon. Have an excellent, excellent day, everybody. Cheers. Good Monday. Bye. CliffCentral.com.